It's Monday. It was a great show. I really enjoyed it.
Well, I'm a 47-year-old musician from Red Hill, and I'm the word on the street from me in the Courier Mail today is, would I go to the shops at 6 a.m. in the morning? Would a 47-year-old musician from Red Hill go at 6 a.m. or not?
I know exactly the 7-Eleven. You'd get up and go up there and get a bubblegum Slurpee medium.
Incorrect. A 47 musician would not, because they work late at night, being a musician.
Unless Ed Cavalier, can I throw a cat amongst the pigeons? He's had a late gig, maybe a 3 a.m. spot, or maybe he's been late night busking, and he's finishing work at 6 a.m. And he's gone in for a bubblegum Slurpee.
And you know what I say to that?
What?
You chauvinistic bastard. It's a female musician.
Jesus. I've done it again.
Well, mate, she needs to get in there and get her dreadlocks tightened up.
I always do that.
Catch up today. Tom Arnold's on to tell us about his amazing Trump tape. And then we spoke about alcohol policy with kids, Marto. That was interesting. And then a little bit of MKR from you with Pilates. That was that was an eye-opener.
But the biggest one was the Newcastle Knights look like they're coming to Ipswich.
Really?
All right, we'll get into that. I'm off to fix my inherent sexism. You guys have a great day.
Hey, guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away. But what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts. There's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now, and let's get into the podcast.
I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. Some would say that the only real celebrity was the first one to leave the jungle. I certainly am going to miss him. He is a Hollywood legend, and he's been nice and feisty in the jungle. Tom Arnold, good morning.
Hey, good. How are you? What an honor to be on that show.
Oh, really?
And what an honor to be voted off. Well, I mean, you know, I worked at a meat packing plant for 3 years out of high school, so I guess compared to that, no, it still is terrible. It still sucks. It was a horrible experience. I cannot describe. And people are like, all you did is just lay around and complain. Well, you know, when they sold me on the show, my friends who knew of the show, and I know they said I was name dropping, but Robbie Williams is a singer that lives a couple doors down. He and his wife, Ida, very nice people. Our kids play together, but they're like, oh, going to the jungle is amazing. You get to jump off bridges. You get to do exciting stuff all the time. I wish Robbie could do it. And so I thought, oh, this is going to be an amazing experience.
Oh, no.
I love the danger stuff. I love animals. I love eating whatever. But the part they didn't tell me about was that 95% of the show, he is hanging out intimately with strangers who are celebrities wherever. And
they're not really. Who was the worst of them? Who was the dullest one of all of the Australian celebrities?
Well, I'm sure I was the worst. I'm sure they would say that I was the worst person. In fact, Lisa Curry said I was a horrible person. She, you know, they're all very nice because they all have these side stories. And when you hear about their childhoods or their marriage and going crazy or something, you have compassion for them, even if they hate you. So, plus we weren't eating. We had no contact with the outside world. So everybody's on edge. But Lisa, you know, it's from the sports world, so everything is black or white. Yeah. And so I was having a meltdown with the producers. I was arguing with cameras, believe it or not, which is insane.
Yes.
But she got in between. I was defending the whole team and the lack of food. She got in between me and the camera and started defending the producers.
Well,
and then I unloaded on her, you know, because she's like, rules are rules. Suck it up, Buttercup. Go back to America. And I'm like, suck it up. And then I, you know, lost my mind.
She's married to an Elvis impersonator, Tom.
I know all about it. But she also has a husband. So she's engaged, but she has a husband. I go, you know, something's weird about that. And then unfortunately, somebody made her deputy camp manager. First of all, we don't even need a camp manager. There's only 12 of us. And it's not even a real camp. It's a reality show camp. And so she walked around like you know, the Jane Lynch character on Glee, Like, yeah. She needed a whistle or something. And all she did is point out what you're doing wrong.
Oh, right, that's like all right. That's it. Anyway. Hey, Tom, we got. So, I got to jump in. I got to jump. Tom Arnold from I'm a Celebrity, get me out here. Robin, get one. I have a question for Tommy here, mate.
Well, I want to know about this whole thing with Hillary Clinton.
This is amazing. This is amazing. You've said that you've got a tape. You've known Donald Trump, what, 20 years, and you've got a tape that Hillary Clinton called you. 25. Did Hillary Clinton call you 2 days before the election and say, please release a tape?
Yeah. You know, every show has the host, and including myself, believe me, they can make one from this show, where the star or the host says something inappropriate, and the crew kind of collects it. It's a tradition in Hollywood. Yeah. Yeah. And we say we're doing it as a joke, but I think people do it as job insurance, too. So there's, like, famous ones of Bill O'Reilly losing his mind and all these respectable people, because everybody loses their mind at some point on these shows. Yep. So a couple years ago, there's a tape going around, a compilation of the Apprentice outtakes with Trump. It was funny. It was inappropriate. It was racist. It was everything he is. But nobody cared because he was a game show host.
Yeah, exactly.
And then suddenly he's running for president, and everybody thinks that's a joke. And suddenly he's going to be president. So I had talked about this before. People on the Apprentice staff had talked about it before. And so, you know, Arnold's daughter said it was at Access Hollywood a year and a half ago when she was working there. So it wasn't a big deal. I said, I have this tape because I assume everybody's going to come forward with it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And the guy that originator of it got nervous. And he said, you know, it's serious. There's a $5 million confidentiality agreement. I'll lose my career. Jesus. It affects other members of my family. I'm afraid of the Trump people. And so when the Sunday before the election, Michael Kivitz was sitting next, he's a big CAA agent. He worked for Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's sitting next to Hillary Clinton on her plane, calls me at home and says, we need you to release the N-word part of that tape. And so I called Judd Apatow, who's a producer, writer, friend of mine. I said, can you tell which crew member gave you this? Because it's a specifically shot piece of footage.
Right.
And he said, 100%. And I said, well, then I can't.
Right, because you would have identified that person.
Wow.
Mate, you've got that many stories. Tom Arnold, you were my favorite. It's a bummer that you're out. You're a Hollywood champion. It's been a pleasure to have you on our screens
proper celebrity.
So it was a proper celebrity now out of the jungle. Good to have you with us. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
I'll see you guys in July. Thank you.
You see ya. See ya.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract, and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G, and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
There was an intake of air when Claire was just doing the news there, and she covered off on that story. I saw her on the news last night. It's in the Courier-Mail today. Boy 4 left inside car. Sounds like an awful incident. Police were called to an incident, New Farm Shopping Centre. So New Farm Shopping Centre, I guess it's the Coles there. I won't presuppose too much, Ed. But it was underneath, they were underneath the cover during the day, 1:30 yesterday. So let's safely say upstairs it was probably 37. If anyone knows that car park, it would have been a little cooler, etc. The windows were down. The kid was asleep. The guy, I suppose, and I don't want to presuppose anything, but he probably went up like so many of us parents have, went just to a store for a couple of minutes, and some goody two-shoes stick your nose in, goes, oh, this kid's going to die. I don't know the full circumstances, but can I get a ruling here? How long are you? Are you not allowed to do that anymore? Are you not allowed if your kid, and you know how hard it is, everyone, to get your kids to sleep? Your kids asleep in the back seat of your car. Sweet. You nip into a shopping centre.
Not when it's 37 degrees. Not when it's the hottest weekend in February.
Why did she have to ring the cops? Hold on, Rob. Why did she have to ring the? Hold on, one second. Why did she have to ring the cops? Why couldn't she be a human being and go, I'll keep an eye on this young bloke because possibly the guy's just gone into the shop and he'll be out in a second. She can get up him then. She don't need to ring the cops and the police and it doesn't need to go to hospital. The kid was asleep. The kid's probably had a bottle of water before he went to sleep. Are you not allowed to leave your kid in the car?
No.
All right, well, Marta, you've
said
what you've...
Sorry, what's the time limit? For 2 minutes? Oh, okay. 5 minutes? I'm saying... For 3 minutes, you're allowed to leave a kid in the car.
Not in 37 degrees. I'm
sorry. This is modern Australia at its best.
Just
hot work PC Australia.
Phones are running hot.
Well, you're saying yes, you can leave them in the car.
I don't even want to battle this anymore. Listen, we're not going to get anyone calling to back me up because everyone will screech like new Australians that you all are. Politically correct Australia says you got to ring the cops. No. What real people would have done was monitor the condition of the child. If the guy doesn't come for 5-10 minutes, you go, whoa, there's something really wrong here. Then you ring the cops.
We've got to get to the cops.
I don't know the details, but you should be able to leave your kid in the car for a couple of minutes while you go to the shop.
Yeah, of course you can't.
A sleeping child with windows down.
Logic would dictate that the child needs to be out of the 37-degree car. Amy of Albany Creek, what do you reckon?
What, and jumping out in 37-degree normal temperature, is that going to help the kid?
A kid can die in 15 minutes
the
in a hot car.
Were down,
sorry,
for
Amy.
God's
Amy,
sake.
Amy.
Yes.
Go.
Yes.
Tell us.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What do you reckon?
Oh, look, I couldn't agree with you more. It doesn't take very long for a child to die in a car. I've been there. I've done that. I've monitored the child, Marto, but
good
it's
work.
Not my responsibility.
But was it in the open sun, Amy, or was it in an underground car park?
Let me explain the whole situation.
No, I'm just asking you. Was it in an underground car park? This is a special situation.
No,
that's
wasn't.
What I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a car being hit by sun.
It wasn't in an underground car park.
Thank you.
It was in a car that was under shade. It was in a public shopping centre at school time. And a woman literally got out of the car and went and did her shopping. Now, I stayed there and I looked after the children that were left in there. They were in an open car with anybody just walking past. This was at the end of school at 3 p.m.
How long did you wait?
15 minutes.
Yeah, that's too long. Yeah, I agree. That's too long.
Okay, so then, thank you, Amy. Amy, sorry to cut in there, but so you've pulled kids out of cars. You've also called the cops before.
I have. On that circumstance, I did call the police. Right. I took photos and I called the police.
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank
Appreciate you.
You
to your call.
Oh, she put it on Facebook.
Mick of Indooroopilly, what do you reckon about this? Leaving kids in cars, how long is it ever okay?
I think we're focusing on just the heat, and that is one very important issue. And I don't know the car park, but my concern would be if you're in an underground car park and you've left a four-year-old child in an unlocked car and you've gone upstairs to a shopping centre, the car could be stolen, child could be stolen.
Yes.
And that's completely different to the heat issue because it doesn't take much to steal a four-year-old child.
No, it doesn't. Oh, so, yes, Marto, what
Who
about
wants
stealing
to steal a four-year-old
and kidnapping?
Child?
Oh, come on. People do.
Do they?
Yeah.
Who would want to steal a four-year-old child? When's the last one we've had in Brisbane, Mick?
Sorry?
When's the last time we had a four-year-old child stolen in Brisbane?
Well, children get kidnapped all the time.
Yeah, they do. And also carjackings happen too. Okay, they're not 100, you
know. Hey, Mick, is Mick still there?
Yep.
No, don't worry.
Mick's there.
Hey, Mickey, you got kids?
I do.
Right. What did you used to do when you'd fill up your car at the servo?
Yes, I see what you're saying. You're monitoring the vehicle, but you're watching it, you're keeping it, you're taking precautions. When you're in a different level, you've gone up to a shopping centre or a supermarket, you're on a completely different level. You've got no supervision or monitoring of that vehicle.
Good one. Okay, thanks, mate.
Thanks,
That's
Mick.
A good call.
Okay. Helen.
Helen.
Yes.
What do you reckon?
It's disgusting. You should never leave a child in a car any time for any reason. The guy should be shot. I have a son, and like the previous year, asked the question before, what do you do at the petrol station? You take your child in with you. There is no excuse.
Whoa.
You don't bring them into the world to disrespect them and just leave them to defend themselves. It's absolutely disgusting.
Okay. Well, you pull up at the bakery and the kids are still, a kid asleep in the back. If you can see your car, would you not leave your kid in the car?
No.
Okay.
No way.
Righto.
He's too precious. You don't. You're not pregnant for 9 months just to disrespect them and leave them in a car for any reason whatsoever.
See that?
Yes, they're hard to get back to sleep, but that's life.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, Marta, you're taking a risk that is completely unnecessary. You're making a choice that could end in disaster. And,
wonderful.
You know,
yep.
What? Right.
No, that's great.
You agree now?
No, I don't agree. I believe the kids are a bit hardier. Sorry, I grew up in a different Australia to what you people did.
So, well, Brendo, well, how are we going?
Yeah, 99%, because people who back me up aren't going to ring. They couldn't be bothered.
Okay, well, you want... Okay, no, wait a sec. Do you legitimately think someone's going to back you? Well, then let them call. Seriously.
I reckon the woman... Oh, I don't give a stuff. I reckon the woman who reported the thing is in... Why did she ring the kid? That's what Australia's all about now. Dobbing people in, taking a photo of his number plate and what's happening, and she'll put it on Facebook and there'll be outrage.
Okay,
and that's the world you live in.
No, I want to
live in the world where that woman monitors the kid. If she's so worried, she opens the door, nurses the kid, goes up and does it herself. She doesn't ring people to dob.
You don't know whether she didn't do
the
that or not.
Dobbing Australia is where we're at. That's
Australia.
What I wanted
it's
to talk about.
It's about caring compassion for someone else, and she felt that that was the right course of action. Yay to her. She's a hero.
Ringing the cops ain't stepping in. She could have actually physically done something herself and given
she
it back to the father
did.
As he came down from
we
the shops.
Don't
gone,
know.
Listen, I was just trying to help.
Very quickly. If you've got an idea, yeah, 133353, you can keep your calls coming in.
Very quickly, Ed, I believe we have found the only person in Brisbane so far that's agreed with Marto. It's Brett from Sumner Park.
Hey, Brady.
How are you?
Talk us through it, mate. What do you reckon?
Okay, well, on the weekend, or yesterday in Pacific, we went up to the Sunshine Coast in the car. I had my grandchild in the car. She's 3. Spent the day up there. On the way back, air conditioning, she fell asleep. We got home. We opened the electric garage door, parked the car in there for 15 minutes to let her sleep. What's the difference?
Well, the difference is you're at home and the risk of...
No. Then the motto is saying that the temperature downstairs is a bit different to 37 degrees upstairs. It wasn't 37 degrees downstairs.
So did
My
you
garage
have your air con on?
Degrees.
Did you keep the car
in the
running?
Car, but we turned the car off, put the windows down.
Well, I think there's no difference. I think the kids should go inside.
Well, I disagree.
Okay. There you go, Marta.
Hey, Brett, thanks
got
for
yours.
Your call, mate.
Kerry of Hawthorne, what do
no
you reckon?
No one wants to agree with me.
Kerry, what Hello? Do you reckon?
Well, I... somewhat agree. I think that society undervalues people's common sense and like to play shame the parent. And my dad was a single parent and he taught me to be street smart. I had to sit in the car. I knew what the rules were. I couldn't go with him everywhere. So sometimes that was the case.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We're getting a little bit of
don't express
as well.
That theory out loud, Kerry. You'll get kicked
Why
for that one.
Why do you say that? It's because
you know this
of...
is your world that you dwell in. That you
I
try
think...
to stir up people for this. Just be cool, Australia.
Depending on the circumstance, fair enough. You know, shopping centre, and I think that guy that called up and said about the comment,
might
you know, petrol
far.
Station versus shopping centre.
Yeah, might have been too far.
Yeah. Thanks, Kerry. Okay, here's Clinton from Mango Hill. Clinton, what do you reckon? Sorry, Mango. Clinton, what do you reckon?
Yes, mate. I've got 4 young kids, and even though it might be a pain in the bum, but I always take them in, even if I go to the servo. Mainly they've got slushies and frozen cokes that they're nagging me for.
Yeah, it costs you and money, Clint. Hold on. You could save yourself plenty by not taking them. Why? You can see the car. Surely it's all right.
Yeah, the most vulnerable people are the young children and the elderly. Although I'll always take my kids in, I'll probably tell the mother-in-law, just to wait there, I won't be long.
Yeah, you stay there. I'm just going to watch this movie. That's 4 kids, though. That Clint, how old
that's
is the youngest
hard.
One?
Oh, the youngest one's 6 now, and
okay,
the eldest, the eldest is 11.
Yeah, right. So they're
but
not
now
it's
you
not
leave
baby
them, couldn't
seats.
You, Clint?
Right, okay.
I'd like to, but like I said, they always nag me for frozen cokes anyway, so it's not worth that.
Yeah, right, okay. So Clint's got another angle there.
Yeah.
Michelle from Caloundra. Michelle, leaving kids in the car, even just for a short amount of time, what do you reckon?
I think it's fine. I think you take a risk driving your kids to school. You take a risk putting them on an aeroplane. You take a risk going to school. People get shot down in shopping centres. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very, very small risk. And are we worried that they're going to be cooked or are we worried they're going to be stolen? Because the chances of them being stolen are really very, very remote.
Yeah,
the chances of them being cooked, well, you know, undercover car parks, probably not going to happen either.
Except though, Michelle, don't you think that there's a certain, you know, choice that you make as a parent about your own ability to cope with that risk aversion? And if you don't feel comfortable with it,
don't
then,
do it. Yeah,
that's you know, exactly right. Don't do it. I agree with you. If you're not comfy, don't do it. But if I'm comfy, yeah, no problem.
But then don't walk past my car and decide that your standards are the real standards.
Yeah, except though that we don't know what happened with the kid.
No, we don't know what happened.
We don't know whether the child was hot. We don't know whether the kid was distressed. There's a whole pile of things where you actually want people to intervene because they're trying to take care of a child. And I will say categorically every time, if you feel that there's a situation where a child is in danger, you have to step in. And that's not a new or old Australia. That's just the way it is.
Politically correct Australia. Okay. Hello.
Well, everyone's had their say on 133353. Yeah, very early, everyone was siding with Robin.
I don't need stats, mate.
That's okay. It has skewed back. 65% still agree with Robin, but there are some that side with you as well, mate.
There are some of us who grew up without seatbelts in cars, okay? And we get smarter and smarter, but sometimes we don't.
Thank you for having your say. Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
Last week, you boys set me a challenge. I was heading off to the Channel 9 product launch for 2017. Mm-hmm. And my good mate, Richard Wilkins from the Today Show, was going to be there.
Diggy.
There he is.
Yeah. Okay. So I agreed to the challenge, but I also, first of all, had to sell it to Dickie.
Okay, Dickie, I've known you for like 20 years as a media friend person. You have pushed cameras out of the way so that I've got interviews in the past on the red carpet. We are friends.
We're colleagues.
Okay, I want you to remember that because I've only been in this job at Triple M for 3 weeks.
How's it going?
Yeah, really good.
Everyone says you're fantastic.
Oh, okay. You can butter me up because what's happened is that my co-hosts, Ed Cavalli and Greg Martin...
Are they still going, are they?
Yeah, they are, and I've joined them. Okay. ..have given questions that is in a sealed envelope and I have not seen them. And when
it's just a regular envelope, I think.
Okay, but when we talked about this on air, I was told that it was as much to humiliate me in the reading of the questions as it is you in the answering.
That's not very nice. What sort of guys are you working with? I mean, seriously.
Okay, so you're going to do this with me?
Well...
Is there anything off limits?
Well, I can think of a couple of things.
Okay, so don't hate me.
Okay.
Okay, so...
You've first things first, you've misrepresented us. You've said that you've led the witness. You've said that it's to humiliate Richard, which it wasn't. It was to learn more about Richard Wilkins through a medium that he understands, which is the sealed envelope, which is like an award ceremony that he has hosted for 40 years.
Okay, well, he was slightly, good. I think he was
Did
just...
Did he say, are we still on air?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, that was, and that's fair enough too. I mean, because, you know, that's
how long ago he's been on air?
A long time.
Yeah, okay. I think
let's continue.
Anyway.
His first broadcast was Noah's Ark launching, so I think that's...
Before I handed what are you wearing? The envelope...
Stripes from the zebras again?
Is that crocodile?
Yes.
Well, I am one.
Have you three finished? Like, seriously? Really?
Sorry.
Pretty funny, though.
Just okay. Before I handed him the envelope, I started with my own question because I know... And have known that he's had a bit of a love-hate relationship with Russell Crowe. So I figured that I could at least get a bit of a story out of him before I presented
him. I didn't know this was going to happen.
Okay, anyway, this was my question to him.
So what's Russell Crowe really like?
Russell Crowe can be the most generous person on the planet, but he doesn't suffer fools gladly. So he can be extremely generous and call you a dickhead in the same sentence.
Do you like him?
Love him. Love-hate relationship for donkey's years, mainly love. And I've never hated him. I don't know why I said that. But he's an incredibly talented actor and he's a lovely fella.
Has he ever sworn at you? Has he ever given you the other side of him?
Many times, yeah.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. Just, you know.
You've crossed your arms, Dickie.
Russell and I actually auditioned for the MTV gig back in the day together. So, yeah, Dickie and I, we both auditioned for that MTV job and Dickie got the gig and became a TV star in Australia and... I became an international Oscar-winning movie star.
Bit of third-person work from Dickie there.
Good in Russell Crowe impersonation. And that was when Russell Crowe was known as what? For a million points? Ooh. Russ LaRocque.
Russ LaRocque
for those
too.
Playing along at home.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Okay, so then
30-odd foot of grunt front man.
Then we got to the envelope, and it was a Today Show question from Ed.
If the Channel 9 executives came to you and said, we have to get rid of Lisa or Carl, who would you prefer and why?
Well, I love them both, so I'd probably take the fall and say, pick me, take me. I'd fall on the sword and leave my colleagues intact as the hosts of the top rating Today show. And I'd just sit around the pool and drink gin and tonics all day and leave them intact. Isn't that
That's exactly the right thing. That's very magnanimous. Oh.
Yeah. Okay. But as promised,
cringe.
Yeah. Marto, you did come through with your appendage question.
Every time Carl speaks at a charity event, he mentions the size of your little Richard.
Oh, please.
Exactly how big is it? Inches, Carl? Not centimetres.
Carl's about 5'10", 5'11", I think.
Why is he fixated with your little Richard?
You'd have to ask him that. He did make a certain comment at my book launch. I nearly said one of my book launches, but I've only written one book. That did get a bit of publicity. But did sell a lot of books for me. All I say to that is that Carl is prone to exaggeration.
That actually didn't answer the question in inches or centimetres.
Good.
Diggy, you are a very good sport. Are we still mates?
Yeah, I think so.
There you go. It was slightly underwhelming, really, wasn't it?
Well done.
I tried.
Well done. I did try.
You asked
the probing questions, and he's seen celebrities duck questions for millions of years, so he's very skilled at that. And what I got from that is that he wants Carl to get sacked, and it's about 14 if you're going from the base. Yeah. Shane's called us this morning from Glenale Grove.
Where's that?
Glenale Grove, Marto.
Oh, that has to be wrong. Glenella Grove? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't ring any bells.
I don't know.
Saying that the thermometer was 56 degrees in the sun.
That's in the sun. I kept saying that at the footy on the weekend. They go, oh, it's 38 degrees, feels like 41. I said, yeah, but you put it out there in the sun. I bet you it's nearly 60.
What, 60?
Yeah, when you're out in the sun. Remember we're talking to Gary Youngbury from Channel 9.
Gary.
There's measurements. When they say 39, they're in a box a metre above the ground with ventilation all around it. They're not out in the sun.
How did people beat the heat?
Let's get real about the temperatures.
I looked at I go straight to the Gold Coast Bulletin, word on the street, to find out how people beat the heat.
Did they ask about beating the heat?
Of course they did, and you'll be shocked. It's in your paper too. You'll be shocked to know that a lot of people on the Gold Coast went swimming. I was as shocked as you. I was as shocked as you to find that out. But question remains, how did you beat the heat? What was it? What got you across the line over the weekend? How did you go to, what were they called? Shopping centres, where I hang out.
You know, movies. People go to the movies, go and watch, you know. I reckon the theatres would have been chockers.
I reckon pools were a waste of time. Our pool was hot.
Yeah, see, I go to Jindalee Pool and I love them.
Was it hot?
I go and do laps there about 3 or 4 times a week, and you can tell when it's been hot consecutively because the pool just gets warmer and warmer and warmer.
Yuck.
But Naomi is a friend of mine. She's a school teacher, and she has posted on Facebook that a homemade air conditioner. Hey, Naomi.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, good. Now, can you explain to these boys how you made it?
I can't take any credit because I saw a friend posted it on Facebook, but you just get one of the styrofoam bins that fruit come in and cut holes in the top, a hole in the top for the fan to blow in, and then 2 holes in the side for the air to come out. And you just put, I put plastic cups, and so it had a few design faults to start with, but my next one I know will be made better so that the air comes out quicker.
Now, Naomi, I'd hate to steal your thunder. I built one of those about 14, 15 months ago with an Esky. I wasted an Esky, not just an old styrofoam box.
Smarter.
Put ice in. You're supposed to put ice. You put ice in the air in the styrofoam box, I hope.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot that key bit.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I thought, hold on, I've got something extra you can do, Naomi. All right. But you go through a fair bit of ice.
Well, it was just the first one that I made last night, and so I was thinking block ice would work. It would last longer.
Good call,
Naomi. And how'd it go, Naomi? Because I remember Marto's one worked great. How did yours go? How much of a room did it cool down, your homemade air conditioner?
Okay, I'm going to be honest. The fan wasn't strong enough, and so it didn't cool down the whole room, and I had to sit in front of it, but... It's got potential.
Naomi, right. I like your honesty because I lied and said, no, it was just a light ducted air conditioning when I told the boys.
That's great,
so
Naomi.
So can I just ask, when the ice melts and it turns into water, does the styrofoam box hold it or does it leak?
No, it definitely holds the water, and so it acts as a double thing because you can then water your hot plants after, like, you know, that need extra water.
Now it's a Women's Weekly article we're listening to.
Hey, that's great, Naomi. We'll repost our photos of Marto's one if anyone else wants to have a go. Thank you, Naomi. Excellent.
You.
Homemade air conditioning, that's one.
That worked a treat.
Something funny. Yes. We put ice, you know, we've got a 9.5-week-old puppy. We put ice in its water bowl. Cold eye. Funniest thing ever.
The puppy got a brain freeze.
Brain freeze. Because he got so slurped up with them.
How did you beat the heat over the weekend? It was a stinker.
It was. There were records. There were records being broken, Robin.
They're saying on the front page of the Courier Mail, you know, there's all these massive, well, not the front page, but inside all these temperatures of 47 at Thargominda.
Did you see 43 at Canungra? down in Desert? Bodeza was 44 and stuff.
Anyway, Guy of Redbank, what did you do to beat the heat?
We went out Pine Mountain out near the Brisbane River, and under the camping canopy we had 47 degrees.
What? That's absurd.
Well, did you camp out there for the weekend or you just went out there to cool down?
We just went out to hop in the river, and the river was like a warm bath.
Where are you talking here? Can you go? That's past the College's Crossing, isn't it?
Road. You just go out Pine Mountain Road, follow that to the end, basically, and there's a little spot you can get into, and... yeah, you probably shouldn't be there, but anyway, we were there and that was drink beer and just sit in a warm bath, basically.
So it was even the Brisbane River was even warm up that far.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, it was.
Thank you, Guy. I've been calling for a long time, Marto, Robin. You don't know this, that there is a certain temperature, and it's 33 in my books. Where all fountains become unofficial public swimming pools.
Oh, of course it is. There's not enough fountains around.
No, there used to be. Well, that was all after when we had the droughts, remember, before the floods.
Turn them off.
And everyone turned them off and shut them down. But Daniel of Wynnum, now you work in a servo. What'd you do?
Yeah. I work in a servo, so I've got a walk-in cool room. So I took a blanket and a pillow and I had a nap.
Lovely. Just in amongst the pies. Beautiful,
yeah,
Daniel.
Not amongst the pies. All the drinks and everything, you know. I wasn't even paid for it, but at least I didn't have to pay the power bill.
Was that a lunch break or after you'd finished work?
No, I work graveyard, so this was during the day when I was trying to sleep. I just couldn't sleep, so went for a drive.
How long, Daniel? How long was the beautiful nap inside the cool room?
God.
48 minutes.
How cold was it in there?
48 minutes. He knows it to the second.
2 degrees, 2.1.
That's nice.
That's chilly.
Have the blanket wrapped up, and it's that perfect temperature just to wrap yourself in a blanket. Reminds you of winter.
Great idea, Daniel.
Maybe they should Airbnb that. Maybe BP should put their cool rooms on Airbnb.
We should say that James of Cinnamon Park spent all day in a spa at 36 degrees drinking spiced whiskey.
Is that good for you? How did it finish up?
It was way hotter in the spa than outside. Made sure he jumped in the pool frequently to cool off.
It was hotter in the spa than outside.
That's weird.
That's strange.
That does things to you, I reckon.
Yeah, I reckon as well.
The spiced whiskey is still out.
Kidake, Robin, you watch Married at First Sight. Yes?
I love it. It's my, you know, guilty pleasure.
Ah, it's your guilty pleasure. Mm-hmm. What is your non-guilty pleasure? I always ask people that when people say things to me like, I only read those women's magazines, that's my trash. I always say, excellent. So what is the other things that you read that aren't your trash? To which they normally reply, go away, Ed. So
you do ask weird questions.
Okay, so I'll do it for you. So Married at First Sight. Now, I'm now intrigued. I haven't been watching it because they called it a social experiment, which is not what I would call it.
It's reality television.
Thank you. It's cheap reality TV.
Pretty much.
But I'm fascinated by my favourite couple.
Who's your favourite? You've got a favourite couple?
A young lady by the name of Scarlett.
Oh, okay.
Now, Marta, here you go.
Tell me more because I haven't watched this.
Scarlett and Michael.
Yes. Now, Scarlett is described as an aspiring author, which means that one day she hopes to try and start writing something.
Throw away the crayons and start using pencils.
Good luck, Scarlett. And they, with the computer that Married at First Sight has got, their detailed computer that matches people, she was put together with a stripper from WA called Michael.
Oh, was he the world's... I keep hearing bits and pieces. Is he the world's pickiest man or
That's
something
him.
Or other?
That's him.
Now, am I allowed
How's
to
this
use,
going?
Am I allowed to use the D word early, Brendan? Is it early enough for the D word?
I'm going to allow it.
Does it start with... Is it not dead and then a rude word? Or is it the rude word first?
It's a D-I-C-K
word. Oh, you've spelled it. You might as well say it.
Yeah, thank you. When they were describing him as the world's pickiest man, I was like, no, he's just the world's biggest dickhead.
That's fair. There it is. No more.
However,
really.
We're done.
You'll be shocked to know, Marta, that it hasn't worked out. It hasn't worked out. I know, mate.
What happened? So they've been married. Tell me the premise. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people who haven't watched it. They got married.
Okay,
and now
so they
living
get
together,
scientifically put together. They nominate themselves. They do all these tests.
That's
and these
psychologists,
experts.
Didn't they?
Yeah. Put them together. They get married. That's the first time they've seen each other when they walk down the aisle. And then they go off on a honeymoon.
Did he have a Velcro suit on at the wedding? Please.
He was getting dressed as a police. He was getting married as a policeman. They're like, mate, can't do that. You can't come as married as a policeman. And a bridal march is not Genuine's pony. So
where do they go? Whose house do they go and live at?
Here's the bit that intrigues me. Because she did it. She's tried to do a Bolt. She's tried to leave, and she's come out and she said that she was detained by a Channel 9 producer against her will. Yes.
What does that mean?
She's tried to run off, and the Channel 9 producers are chasing after her.
Saying, we're not going to pay you if you go.
No, that they can't get the shots. Like, you can't actually leave. You've got to pretend to leave. And they were chasing her down the street. Yeah, they chased her down the street. There's reports that she then crashed into a police car. And then they've lost her. And they've lost her somewhere in Sydney. Now, the great news is, so this is a Channel 9 show, but the best thing is Channel 9 is hot on its tail. Channel 9 are not letting Scarlett go. They've got their best person on the case. What do we do at Channel 9 when someone goes missing?
Oh, hold on.
We get Tara Brown to kidnap them back.
Oh. Okay, now I want to know from you guys. I know, Ed, that you don't drink alcohol at all.
I make up for him.
Yeah, I know. I was just about to say. And, Marto, you certainly make up for a whole lot of people.
I try.
But over the weekend, I spoke earlier about going to a day on the green at Sarah May Winery and how I knew that I was going with 10 of my besties and we were in a limo so no one was driving. It was going to be a big day, right?
Yeah, of course.
And so I was, going to see James Taylor. So I was trying to make sure that with my boys that they didn't necessarily see their mother in an inebriated state.
Okay.
How old are they?
Okay, 16, 14, and 12. And I think the reason why I'm very conscious of it is that I'm having conversations, particularly with the older one, about, when is the right time to drink, how much, how do you actually educate your kids, there are parties going on, blah, 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 blah. So I just was quite clear that I didn't want them to necessarily see me like that.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know, because...
It's a tough time.
Yeah, I know, but two of them I'd organised for sleepovers and weren't interested, but one of them, my 14-year-old, just happened to ring me, and of course I'm going to answer the phone because you think, something's wrong.
What's the problem? Also, they weren't home when you got home.
No.
Oh, that's
so weird. I thought that I'd got away with it, but Sunday morning, oh, Mum, you were so pissed. That's pretty much what they said. Which I don't think was true. I think I managed to hold a conversation and I was okay.
They're very judgy.
Yeah, they are very judgy because anything to bring me down a few notches is always going to be a win.
Right.
So my comment and I guess my question to you, Marto, is...
I'm not the right one to
ask. Yeah, well, you kind of are because you don't care and you love your beer on a weekend. Did you ever have an alcohol policy with your children?
Negative.
Never once.
About my behaviour around the children?
Yeah, in terms of what you're then modelling or role modelling or, I haven't got this clear in my head, obviously.
We've had, over our life, we've had so many people at our house. I've been able to control everybody. They've seen drunken adults.
But what about you personally?
Me personally? No, I keep myself pretty tidy.
Yeah, there you
go. I reckon they've seen
me
come home. I'm at my worst if I come home from a large lunch, rugby lunch.
Of course.
That's happened two or three times. Kath tries to pack me away, has tried over the years. She just packs me away as quick as she can.
Because we do care. We do care that our kids see us in that
way. I notice they get fascinated. I keep myself fairly tidy.
Yeah, me too.
Well, don't let my kids through. To the producer, around the kids. Around the kids as they grew up, I've always tried to keep myself tidy, but, geez, I can't say the same about some of the adults we've invited into our house.
They've seen me have to usher them out. It's slightly different if they're friends, not your parents. Yeah. Like, you can't stand there and say, do as I, you know, say, don't do as I do.
Yeah.
Have you ever thrown up in front of them?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, okay. Okay.
What, have you?
No, I haven't.
I wasn't expecting that question.
No, but, you know, like, there's a degree of, you know, and you...
I couldn't even think when the last time that has happened. There you go.
Okay.
I don't...
I am very curious to hear.
I fall over before that happens.
Have you passed out on the couch?
No, I'm always busy. I take myself off before that. I get to that stage. God, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, right.
I'm not a late nighter.
Yeah, okay, right. Yeah. Self-imposed. You got self-imposed curfews, you work to a schedule, and then
you're what are you saying?
Interesting. What's the policy?
And how do you manage it?
We've been to Moreton Island a lot, and behaviour's looser over there. They've seen adults you know, very unsteady.
And does that bother you?
Well, they're now both left school and stuff, and they don't mind a drink, and I haven't seen them. They seem to look after themselves.
Because it really bothers me. I don't think that
Find their way, though, but they won't be guided by you so much as their friends, I reckon.
But don't you think that if they've grown up seeing a whole lot of people getting drunk a lot of the time in your personal space, that that's not great?
Amanda from Murrumba Downs, you've got how many kids?
I've got two kids. I've got a 7-year-old and a 6-year-old.
Okay, and the policy is...
is that if my husband and I are going to go to a function where there's going to be alcohol or whatever, one of us drinks and the other remains sober.
Yeah.
That way there's always a sober parent because you never know when a kid is going to be sick or have a nightmare or need you for something. So they've always got a sober parent.
Great call. When do you reckon they're going to make mid-strength wine?
Ooh.
How come it's always blokes that have to stay sober?
That's interesting.
It is not blokes who always have to stay sober.
Oh, I know. Well, I don't know. Maybe that's just me. But why don't they make a mid-strength wine?
I don't know. Maybe they can't. Maybe in the fermentation of the grapes.
They seem to have slowed us down, haven't they, with their mid-strength and light beer. Anyway, Steve from Narangba, what's your policy or your place?
Yeah, mate, look, I get on the grog all the time and the kids see it. Well, I've got a 16 and 18-year-old. My 18-year-old, she goes to parties now and she doesn't get bombed because she's seen too many of her friends getting pole-axed and thrown up all over the joint.
I reckon that's where my kids are too, Steve.
Yeah, well, she's seen me blind on Anzac Day. I'm an ex-serviceman, you know, and I get together with the boys and hit it pretty hard for 5 a.m., you know.
But they do also say, Steve, that if, you know, it's about addressing it with them honestly and openly, and therefore they see that, yes, you may have a big one, but you're still keeping yourself okay and you get on with it. So it's actually being able to manage that. Is that the case with your kids?
Well, I don't know if I'm managing it or my wife's managing me when I get home. I'm pretty rotten on an index day.
Yeah, but that's a special day too, mate. I'll excuse you anything on that day.
But... you know, look, we've allowed our kids to have a drink with us from about 15, just a week drink, you know, because if you try and wrap them in cotton wool and keep it a secret and it's like this is a big bad thing, I think that's why they get out there and they go, I want to have a crack and give it a hard time, you know.
That's when they go sneaking around.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what we hear about overseas, isn't it, Steve, that they sort of, you know, people, it's not as... you know, in Europe and stuff like that, they'll let, you know, 15, 16-year-olds have a little bit of wine so it's not such a big deal when they get their chance. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate that. Alison is from Jimboomba. Alison, what is your alcohol policy around the kids?
Honestly, I'm not a big drinker. My husband probably drinks a bit more than Marto. So my boys have seen both sides of it.
You're the yardstick.
Jesus, give me his phone number. I've got to check his check that.
Educate them that alcohol affects people in different ways. So my father is also a recovering alcoholic and he's actually sat my boys down and talked to my boys about it as well.
Good one.
Wow, that's good.
Well, the other thing is how heavy you are affects it. If you're 100 k's compared to 60 k's, it's going to knock you around more.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're so true, Alison.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't really feel we finished with a laugh, but there you go.
Some good policies there. Some no policies at
Robin,
all.
Robin, there's no set.
Yeah, I know.
You
but
did the
you
right
just,
thing trying
and, you
to
know,
keep them away
in this
from
room,
it.
I am that kind of mother that worries about that sort of stuff. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you guys don't so much.
Yeah, don't ask me too many questions. <That's>,
new Triple M.
I'm so excited because, Marto, you and I, every now and again, we go to the phones or we shout at each other in the kitchen about how we could do with another NRL team in Southeast Queensland. No, I am not
playing down the impact that the Southeast Queensland Crushers still have on our fine community.
Mate, every Monday and I go through the scores and then the crowd figures are put and 6,000 people watching an NRL game in the suburbs of Sydney. I go, what a waste of time that
team
is.
What a waste of time. And we're crying out. And Dobbo, our NRL insider, has just bobbed up, thankfully, in the studio because, Dobbo, there is movement at the NRL station.
Yeah, there certainly is. It's been an interesting 24 hours, really, in the whole landscape. Obviously, Friday night, the Indigenous All-Stars was played down in Newcastle, and we all know the mining town. It's the heartland of rugby league, some of the greatest
footballers. It's not the heartland
of
rugby league.
Well, I mean, the Johns boys and a lot of those boys coming out of there, there's been a lot of good footballers out of Newcastle.
It's been rubbish there forever.
Well, that might be to do with administration. But
okay, so?
So the NRL have actually owned them after the Nathan Tinkler exercise, which went to complete pear-shaped. The NRL have owned the Newcastle Knights. They haven't made a lot of money, and they've been trying to sell them for the last 2 years. Now,
have they made? Oh, wait, you said haven't made a lot of money. They've been losing money.
A lot of money. Yeah.
Righto. So they want to unload.
They've tried to unload. So they deny, but I've spoken to the NRL this morning that there have been discussions that if they can't sell the Newcastle Knights to a private entity, now there's a couple of leagues clubs there, West Leagues Club, which is very strong in Newcastle, but if they can't, they're going to look to relocate, and where they want to relocate, next team in line, is the mighty, mighty Ipswich Jets.
You're so the Jets. No, the Jets look, in the NRL.
Wow.
I think it's only a matter of time. Now, I've spoken to three different people from the NRL.
Jedi Knights. Oh, my God.
Obi-Wan McDougal, finally.
It does pose a lot of questions. I mean, where do they play? Obviously, you'd think Suncorp Stadium, but with the man they've got,
Port Basali.
Yeah, Port Basali is obviously.
He'd build a stadium
out there. But wouldn't it be good to have rugby league at Suncorp every weekend? Like you're saying, Broncos one weekend, the Jets the next weekend. They could get around a town.
But hang on, they're not going to, if they're going to bring the Knights to Ipswich, they'll want to keep the Knight logo, won't they? And Ipswich is not going to be okay with having the Knights. They want to have the Jets.
When the AFL transfer teams, it was the Bears originally and Lions and everything. Yeah, God, does it matter?
Well, I think it does because there's a lot of people that support Newcastle. Now, Matthew Johns, who obviously is part of the Triple M family, has said it will not happen over his dead body. He said there's no way. And I think there's a lot of Newcastle supporters.
Why doesn't he throw in one of his millions or two of his millions and save the team? Well, that's probably what they're doing in Triple in Sydney today, is
it? I spoke to Steve Johnson, who's the chairman of the Ipswich Jets, and he said, look, we know we need a team here, but he said it makes no sense to rip out a heartland Newcastle and two heartland sides. You can't take one from another. They need another team, and it needs to be an Ipswich. But there's no question the NRL want to sell Newcastle, and if they can't find a buyer in Newcastle, hello, come in, the Ippy Jets.
So tell me what's wrong with the Ipswich Knights, please. Why?
Mate, because they're the Jets, mate. Amberley Air Base, it's just the heartland. It's where the Jets are.
You keep saying the word heartland.
It is, mate.
It's so parochial.
Lot.
Come on.
Queensland is the heartland of rugby league.
If you look at the numbers, the junior rugby league numbers and the membership for the Brisbane Broncos in the postcode, Ipswich, number one, hands down. It is heartland rugby league.
Broncos need to go to Ipswich.
Broncos membership, most members in all of their whole
Ipswich.
State are in Ipswich.
Wow.
That's why they don't want the Ipswich Jets to come into the NRL.
This is a real threat to them.
Thank you, Dobbo.
We need to get Matthew Johns on the phone.
Yeah, you should.
We might speak to one of the Johns boys. But thank you, Dobbo.
No problems.
Is excellent stuff. Just recapping, there is a possibility that Ipswich will either be getting its own team very shortly in the NRL or the Newcastle Jets may be forced to relocate. Thank you, buddy.
See ya.
You, Robin Bailey, had a fantastic weekend.
I certainly did. It was a doubleheader at Seramay Winery for a day on the green. They had on Saturday James Taylor and on Sunday Simple Minds. I didn't back up. I only went to James Taylor, but...
James Taylor.
Awesome, awesome, awesome day.
Oh, I remind me James Taylor. Was
okay, well, I will. I will, because it kicked off with Casey Chambers. She started at 4 and then went into some Bernard Fanning.
Oh, well, hello.
Now, he did his own stuff. He did a couple of Powder Fingers, which was awesome, but then he did a bit of Prince. Purple rain. How good is he? Bernard Fanning is really good.
Gotta love Burnie.
I've never
Everyone
been to Down the Green. Is there the stage is down the bottom of the hill and you sit on the hill? Winery and restaurants at the top.
Yeah, so
an amazing place.
There's like corporate boxes right along the top end.
Is there?
And you can have seating at the front, but we always go GA and just hang. Actually, on Saturday, we're in the Amy area.
Picnic rug?
Yeah, you just take your chairs and you take some food, and there was 10 of us. And
were you canning on?
Yeah. Was I what?
Canning on.
Canning on.
Canning on?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
I don't know. It's getting on it.
Oh, sinking canning tinnies. On it. Okay.
There's wine. It's at a winery.
Were you goon bagging?
No. Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, what?
Oh, yeah, you were bagging.
How'd you get there? If there were 10 girls, what were you in? A big bus or something?
In a limo.
Did you? Limo?
Yeah, we did it.
Stretch hummer?
Well, because the problem is getting a maxi taxi was tough. So it was only a little bit more to get a limo. So we all hung out. But
you fit 10 in a limo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. We actually could have fitted a couple more. We could have gone 12. Oh, yeah.
And it wouldn't be too expensive with that.
No, it was great.
Jeez, that's good.
But let me tell you about James Taylor, because something really weird happened.
Which song was it, James Taylor?
Okay, let me take you through a couple. Here's California. I'm going to
Carolina in my mind.
Carolina in my mind.
Oh, God, I had a girlfriend in the 80s who used to play that stuff.
Yeah. Okay, wait. You'll recognize
Jackson
this
Brown
one.
And James Taylor.
Oh, I love this. Yeah. It's the sky.
I can never remember the words, so I don't know. I know what it made me feel like.
Okay. What?
Oh, I was going home with a girlfriend. You know.
And the final one, which everyone knows, is this.
Oh. Have you recorded this? Are you allowed to do this?
Probably not. But here's the thing, right? And you're doing exactly what I did. Okay, I knew I liked James Taylor, but it wasn't until I was sitting on that hill that I remembered my childhood, and I knew most of the words because it's like osmosis. My parents used to play it all the time.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't realise how much emotion that evoked when you actually sit there and you think back to your mum and dad and you think back to being a little kid on the lounge.
How many did you had again?
Okay, you just did it and you haven't had any.
Yeah, that's true.
You were just
that is
reminiscing
true. That's
about
really nice.
Music.
I don't even know what he looks like. How is he looking?
He's in his 70s. It's pretty good. He was wearing a cap, so I'm guessing
he's
bald.
Went very bald, yeah. Oh. He had beautiful long hair back in the
70s. But his voice is still good.
That's right.
Oh, that is beautiful.
And you sit there and you think, and I reckon I would do it for Simon and Garfunkel. If I went to a Simon and Garfunkel concert, I reckon that would evoke my childhood memories. Mm. Maybe a little bit of Libby, but that's slightly embarrassing.
Who?
Libby Newton-John.
Oh. Let's get physical.
The Global Tens was a big marketing thing. There's a mob called JUCO Management, all right? They're headed by Dean Lonigan. What do they call themselves? JUCO Management, is it?
Entertainment or something? Anyway, events, promotions,
whatever. Based out of Auckland. They started their money. They promote New Zealand boxing. They're Jeff Horn's promoters.
Okay.
Okay, so they're going to get involved in the Jeff Horn-Manny Pacquiao fight. They run the Auckland Nines. They also run a lot of the New Zealand boxers. You know that Parker, the heavyweight over there? They've made a lot of money out of promoting him. He's big in New Zealand. All right, so they've had a go. They've gone, right, we made money out of the Auckland Nines. Not so good this year, but they said, let's do the same sort of thing. Suncorp Stadium was spared this weekend. Let's get all the rugby teams. If you don't know, there were 14 rugby teams, one from France, one from South Africa, one from Japan, one from Samoa, and the New Zealand and Australian Super Rugby teams all got together. And I didn't know how it would go. I know we were down to commentate. There were about 30 games over the weekend.
Oh, my
God. That's a lot of names to learn.
How many names you have to learn?
Oh, mate. It was. The teams came through on Thursday. I sat down Thursday night, sat down Friday night, and got my head around them. But a lot of them we do commentate, but there were guys like you'd never seen before. A lot of the Samoans.
What were one of the hardest names that you had to get your mouth around?
Oh, Falkaihiki, like things like that. And there's
Fijian.
When there's more, and that's what happens with the Tongans and Samoans, they've got more vowels than they have consonants.
Yeah, it's what
and
I call
you have to say every one of them.
It's a reverse Serbian. If only the Serbians could just
get together
Tongans could get together and just lend each other a vowel.
Have
and
you
a consonant.
Got a consonant? Yeah. Can I borrow an H if I give you two
Z?
E's and an apostrophe?
Are you using all of those Z's, Serbia?
Well, no,
all of them. So
send a couple over to the Cook Islands because we don't have enough. Anyway,
what happened with the taco?
It's good.
Oh no, you want to talk? Well. What happened? Did you? You know how many tickets we gave away last week to the rugby? Yes. We were giving away heaps here, and Duco was great. In the end, they got plenty there. There was 25,000 people Saturday, 25,000 people Sunday. Hottest day ever. Love they it. Had those fans everywhere with misters, you know, spraying water.
Great.
They did a great job. They let you bring water in with you. That never happens at Suncorp usually. Yeah, you bring your own stuff. You could go out. You could come in as many times as you like. That often doesn't happen. They're really tight on that. The biggest thing was you didn't have to sit in the seat. I believe this is a thing that can happen. If you've bought a seat, go and sit. If there's a spare seat, go and sit there. If you want to move from your seat on halfway, stiff luck, somebody else might grab your seat. I'm a big one for that. Every seat in the stadium, it's Suncorp's that good, should be the same. If you want to get there early and get a good seat. If you want to get there late, well, you're sitting up the back, mate.
Fair
off
enough.
You go. Mm-hmm. So you can move around all day. Where were we? The tacos.
So you were saying to us that a taco took out a security guard before the song. So
that
what happened?
It happened late on Saturday. Some of the outfits. There was heaps of Trumps. And, you know, last weekend in Sydney for the Sevens it happened. We didn't advertise get dressed up, but people just went, it's sort of like a music festival. Mm. The Trumps were good.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
There were a lot of Trumps. There were those honey badges. There were a few of them. They were pretty ordinary. There were women's tennis players. God, they look neat and tidy, and they just walk around in their white skirts and tops.
Okay.
Well, who would have thought? Women tennis players.
Inflatable dinosaurs.
Thing.
I saw a couple of those.
B1, B2. People love that because you can ride.
That's old.
First time ever. You're right. Tacos. I don't know where they got them from, but during the day, there was this group of basketball players, and American basketball players, and they threw a basketball to the tacos. One of the tacos, because his arms were tucked inside the lettuce sort of thing in his outfit, he missed it. It bounced off him onto the field. The security guard grabbed it. You know what they do. They don't go throwing it back.
No, it's the end of that.
Held it. One of the tacos reached down to grab it. security guard wouldn't let it. He got cuffed.
No.
All right. And fair, you can't be doing that. Then the cops came, and that was a bit of an incident. One taco got marched out. Do you think the other tacos, there was about 10 of them, other tacos had a discussion? Should we go home with whatever?
Random taco.
Yeah, random taco.
Or rogue taco.
The naughty taco. They had a discussion. They went, no, we paid good money. There's still beer to be drunk here. If he wants to be a silly taco, we'll meet him back at Macca's place later on.
Fantastic.
They turned up the next day. They were two-day tacos. We zoomed in on them with the camera on stage. They had stains. I think they'd slept in their tacos. And said, here we go. Here we go again. The best thing was there was about five guys, and you know it was 37 on Saturday, 39 there yesterday. There was a group of guys dressed in these grape outfits. Now, the grapes were as big as basketballs, all right? The whole thing, you could see their heads, but the whole thing was like a lycra with grapes. Like a footy size, or you know, the
they
were a bunch of grapes, and they just liked walking along. Look, there was five of them. Now, what stage does someone? When does that email start? When someone goes, listen, the tens is on. It'll be a bloody good weekend. You want to go dressed as grapes?
Yeah.
Okay. You could go as Fred Flintstone. Yeah. No, let's go as grapes.
They would have been sultanas by the end of it.
Reality TV was all over telly last night. You know, Kath said, "Why don't you sit down and watch MKR with me? I haven't seen you all weekend, love." She hadn't seen me all weekend because I was involved with reality TV the whole weekend. The Global Tens, that was
the rugby,
the best reality TV. Mm-hmm. It was proper. It was unscripted. There were people trying their hardest, people getting hurt. There were broken legs. There were people actually real.
Okay, but they weren't cooking anything and they weren't nipping
Thank
at each other.
Goodness. All right. So I had to have something to eat. So I was in the kitchen. Kath was right next to it watching MKR. And then I could hear what was going on, and she noticed that I got a pen and a piece of paper, and that's when she gets nervous because she knows I'm about to take the piss, and why wouldn't you?
I am what you would call, or what Duncan would call, a recovering vegan and vegetarian.
That's okay. What's
a recovering,
wrong with that?
What is a recovering vegan and
She now eats meat. Because she used it not to.
She's back. What happened was she used to eat meat. Yeah.
And then
she had a moment where she wasn't getting enough attention. Yeah. So she stood up at a Christmas and said, Mum, Dad, I'm a vegan. And then she realised just what a punishing life of fire twirling it was, and now she's back to living properly.
I've heard that girl, those girls say that at our house. You know, you offer them bloody barbecue stuff, and they go,
there's nothing wrong with it. Okay, because some do it for lifestyle choices, some do it for health choices.
All right, well, I'm glad she's back eating meat. That's tremendous news for all of us.
Sorry, just quickly, Robin, no, they don't. None of them do it for that reason. They all do it so that when they go to the Sea Shepherd get-together, they can be slightly more moral than the person standing next to them. Yeah? They don't know anything.
Quite what a do.
They know nothing.
Quite a do that get-together as well, the Sea Shepherd one. Yeah.
What an eye. I beg to differ. But anyway, so yes.
Pass me a fillet of whale, please. Hey, righto, I didn't know. See, I haven't been catching up with it. I know Kath's been right on the lounge watching these blokes and girls. There's a new crew came in.
Yeah, so
that's
two
why
lots.
She was all fascinated. Kath was that's all fascinated. Right. Meet the newies. Well, what isn't this bloke? This bloke invented this.
I grew a beard and bought an $8 flannel before it was cool.
Or hipster.
Yeah, before it was hipster.
He was a hipster before.
Okay. Is he a barista from Melbourne?
Yeah, hold on. Ned Kelly had a beard and an $8 flannel,
yes,
mate.
He
I'm
did.
Sorry, it's been around for about 150 years, mate. He honestly, right. This bloke started telling everyone how he was. I've been a hipster for years. Oh my God. Oh God. So I'm a little bit down on the show at this
right,
stage.
Yes, obviously.
All right. And then all of a sudden, this couple comes along.
I'm a physio.
I work in construction.
Yeah.
And I also am like a fashion stylist on the side.
What?
But
Ed?
Wait, Ed. That's what I thought. I went, righto. And then I turned around and went, that's Matt. Kath said, who's Matt? I said, I know Matt. We go to the gym together. He's my Pilates instructor.
He's your what?
Never heard say me that. Say that before, have I?
Say
I've got to put
again.
It out there. No.
He's your what?
Well, he's the one. You wait until you see him. Now I'm going to start MKR. He's got all the muscles. He's huge. All right? But he's a physio. But I had a bad back for a while there back about 2 years ago, and I started doing Pilates. And now every time I see him, I go, oh, Matt, I've got to get back to Pilates.
And
I'm
you're
sorry,
having a crack at the vegans.
Yeah. Oh, what do you mean? Oh, I just had a bad
you're
back.
You're doing Pilates.
You've changed, mate. And I have changed.
Well, it's time to watch MKR. That's how much I'm changed. Oh, I'll go for Matt. Matt's going to be on the chaser. I'm going to talk about nothing else in our show than Matt. I love Matt.
This is very
Are you
going
to go back to Pilates?
What?
Are you going back to Pilates?
Of course I am. Then I can get some MKR stuff off Matt.
Some Pilates, some recipes. What a thrill.
Yeah. Oh, you should try it. Pilates is so good for you guys.
Okay.
I've been doing it before it was popular.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
This Marto, Ed and Robin catch-up is brought to you by the unbreakable Toyota Hilux SR5. With satellite navigation and 3.5-tonne towing and trailer sway control. Search Toyota Value.